Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
What's up, Hawkeye Nation? We're back for another episode, Wash Up Walk-Ons, Corona Chronicles. You know what it is. We've got a guest on today for 75 minutes of great Hawkeye content. We know him as Big Boy. Y'all know him as LaShawn Daniels, former running back for the Hawks. We catch up and have a fantastic time in this episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. Sit back, relax, and let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. This is the 105th episode of the podcast. And today we got another special guest with us. But before I intro him, I got to take a second to shit on Kluver. Because when I was trying to set this episode up, Kluver told me that I was not taking into account his time or his feelings when setting up the guests. And I needed to take him into more consideration. And here's how I'm going to put this is that if I wanted to be nagged at like I was nagged at by a girlfriend, I'd have one. But I need a girlfriend like I need a bullet in the head. So I don't need to hear Kluver tell me that I wasn't taking his feelings into account when putting content out for you guys. So, all right, I'm gonna be done shitting on Kluver. And now I'm just going to bring in our guy. Man, a lot could be said. First of all, he's the only running back that I've ever played with who had bigger biceps than me, no doubt. Maybe JB, but his were still bigger than JB's. I don't even know, man. We had so many good times in the running back room. This guy's been through some shit with me. Great career at Iowa, great football career. Great dude, LaShawn. Welcome to the podcast, man.
Yeah, well, thank y'all for having me.
What's going on, Big Boy?
Not much, you know, just vibing. Excited to be on the podcast for once.
How you handling all this this pandemic shit?
Bro, it's terrible, bro. I literally can't do nothing. Can't watch no sports, bro. Can't go out to eat. Can't even walk down to the store just to go like walk around the mall or something. Like, I'm literally just stuck in the house, just trying to play video games, whatever I can do. Like, trying to keep my mind off, just sitting off my butt doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah. We just said before we clicked record. That you and James, which fans, we tried to get James on. We tried to have the brothers on the podcast. It would have been, well, we had the Diesels. This would have been the second time we had two brothers on the podcast. But James is playing FIFA, man. What'd you say, Drake?
Found a way to be busy.
Yeah. And speaking of busy, before we get to you, LaShawn, I want to answer Drake on his call out in the beginning, because this happens a lot. First of all, there's a lot to there's so much to talk about. Kevin, for those subscribed on Patreon or watching a week later, is devouring some Pete and Kim Harmon chicken lips from Gray's. I know LaShawn misses those.
Shout out to Gray's, the first sponsor, unofficial sponsor of the Wash Walkins podcast.
I got to be honest, Kevin, those look so goddamn good.
Yeah, bro. They look fire, bro.
We're gonna sidestep here real quick. This is the first time I have chicken lips in a while. And you know what? I decided, you know what? Pandemic. Restaurants are closed. You got to find a way to support local businesses. Gray's is running an awesome deal. 12 chicken lips for $25.
Holy shit.
You bet your ass I'm taking full advantage of that. So this is going to be like my next three meals.
I was going to say, that's three meals of chicken lips for sure.
Yeah.
If you're greedy.
Oh, yeah. And you know I'm greedy.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah,
so shout out Gray's. Shout out your local restaurants. Go support.
Yeah, go hit up Pete and Kim and support the Gray's and everybody else out there.
Side story. Guy called when I called. I don't know, recognized my voice or something. He's like, is this Kevin Ward of the Washed Up Walk-On? I was like, yeah, that's him. He said, as soon as we come out with the 2020 Wrestling National Champions, he wants five shirts. So we got to get those.
Oh, shit, we got that. All right. We're going to get to you, LaShawn. First of all, Kevin, the chicken lips look insane. Your mustache, other opinions.
Also insane.
Other pretty opinions good about it.
Thanks, Drake. Thank you, Drake.
I don't like it. The only time I liked it is when you, Josie, and Bo all had one together, and you looked like some mobsters from the 30s or something like that. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay, man. Bottle me, Kluver. Let's see what you got.
Yeah, so we sat down, you know, LaShawn, Drake texted you earlier in the day trying to set this podcast up. We had been talking, unfortunate circumstance in my personal life where I'm going to be gone this weekend. Generally, we record on Sundays. With this pandemic, it's been a little different, but generally we record on Sundays, and I did not know if I was going to be available this Sunday. So in my head, looking out for the fans, looking out for y'all, I was like, hey, we got to get at least one episode, an extra episode recorded during this week so that Monday for next week we could have an episode. Then we'll figure out Thursday's episode for next week once the week starts.
Okay. So I got it figured
so,
out.
So,
well,
okay. A little bit different side of the story, though. Drake goes, and when I told Drake this, because I know Kevin's busy, as he told us on the last episode, he's a responsible adult that has long-term plans and goals, unlike Drake and I. I told Drake, tomorrow we have to get an episode in, all right?
I read tonight.
There have been multiple accounts where Kevin and I both have said, Drake, you schedule episodes without us telling you that we're available. Drake texts back, all right, cool, I'll hit up LaShawn and James for tomorrow, yada, yada. I'm like, awesome, sick. Thursday, middle of the day, we can hit an episode, no big deal. Drake texts us 90 minutes ago and says, hey, we got LaShawn for tonight.
It was more like 2 hours ago.
Whatever. Hey, we got LaShawn for tonight, something, something. And I'm like, dude, and you mentioned not having a girlfriend. You don't want one. You don't want to be nagged at. It brings me to this point. Yes, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I've spent the last 14, 20 days with my wife. I get that I've seen her and I will see her and I will get time with her. The problem is that sometimes it's not like 100% of the time I'm sitting there like, I wish I was doing a Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast right now. Like sometimes I just want to hang with the wife, you know? And tonight was one of those times. Now, I'm okay. It's all good. You said I'm not Chris D'Elia on Twitter. It's all good, babies. I'm right here. But
and the thing is, you
Kluver, man,
dump for 30 minutes anyways. So,
and that's another story, but
we don't want to hear that one. But Kluver, man, we're in a national shutdown. Everyone's quarantined, sheltered in place. She can't leave you. She tried. It's illegal.
Yeah.
She can't leave the house.
Very true.
It's not illegal to leave your house yet.
Okay. LaShawn, you got a wife. You've got a baby too.
Right.
What's your
right
take on all this?
Yeah, LaShawn. I mean, LaShawn, back me up, bro. Yeah.
I understand where he's coming from. I mean, you try to spend time because, like, because whenever all this eventually ends, like, you ain't go back to seeing them only for a few hours during the day. So you got to kind of, you know, you got to make the time, right? You got to have, got to be a family man, got to be a grown up, yeah. Something like that.
All right, and your wife's name is also Lauren. Mine is named Lauren as well. Say, right. For example, you and Lauren and the baby had a nice little night planned. You're going to watch a TV show, sit down, eat a meal together, and then all of a sudden, James texts you and goes, "Yo, LaShawn, we're playing FIFA tonight. It's just what's happening.
Not the same.
We're
at
playing
all.
FIFA, and that's what's happening. All right. You don't get to, you know, tell Lauren and the baby you're playing FIFA for an hour.
You don't have a baby. LaShawn has the ultimate trump card. Your situation is not the same at all. You literally just have a girlfriend with a ring on her finger. That's it, bro. Wow. You don't have a family. Wow. Yet. You just have the woman. So, you can't fall back on that trump card. We're in a quarantine. I win.
I want Wash Up Walk-Ons fans listening right now to destroy Drake for saying that I just have the woman. That's it. Okay?
That's it. LaShawn has the extra piece to the puzzle that she can pile on him.
So until you have a kid, fuck your wife. It's just like, don't spend time with her.
No.
I think that's how it works, Kluver. I think that's how it works. Until you have a kid, you fuck
not,
your wife.
Not literally, figuratively.
That's true, Kevin. Thank you for that. Now, also, we're in very, very unique circumstances where you just admitted you'd been in the house for 20 days with only your wife. You don't have to worry about a kid. You've spent plenty of good one-hour periods. We had to get a little business done. We got some business done. Here we are.
Hey,
man.
And look at where I am. Look at where we are. I told you, I'm cool.
But I won.
I guess if that's how this works. LaShawn, let's get to you.
You know, I just got to say, it always astonishes me how we spend the first 15 to 20 minutes of every podcast just talking about complete nonsense.
Yeah, and the fans fucking hate us for it. LaShawn, we mentioned maybe we'll go in a different little chronological order. We're gonna go through your whole football career, but we mentioned that you got the wife, you got the kid. Talk about the last couple years since football, and kind of how adult life has been, trying to figure out what to do after the game has ended.
Right. So the last time I played football would have been, was this fall of 2018, when I was with the Packers for a little bit during their training camp. And so the wife was already pregnant at this time. She was slated to be due in November. Okay. And, you know, so like I'm still training and whatnot at this point in time, like, because obviously, like, you never know, like,
sure,
that business part, right? NFL's business, you never know where you could be anywhere across the country, wherever. So, boom. So then you get to a point. Baby happens, right? And now things are like time is getting a lot more crunch now, because like now I'm like, okay, I can't just be working out all the time. Like, I gotta get a job at some point. I gotta provide, gotta help out the family, because obviously she's not gonna be working, because obviously taking care of the baby, and like I can't just be, you know,
bumming it off, yeah,
doing whatever, right? Yeah. So like, I mean, I kept training for, like, I guess I want to say, like, over the next 8-ish months. And I mean, still now I still train every now and again, pretty much.
You're,
mainly every
you
day.
Still got bigger biceps, oh, than Drake.
Fact,
way
fact.
Big. Fact. That will never change.
And so, like, we moved to so we live just outside of North Chicago, north suburbs, and Faith was up here, and he knew that I lived up here, and he works at this place called Illinois Bone Joint. It was basically like a physical therapy, like, personal training spot. And Faith's like, "Hey, man, like, hey, if you want to come and, you know, work here, like, you can train people, like, almost like you're being like a coach, like strength coach. And you can work out here as well. Like, you know, we'd love to have you on." And so that's something I've been doing really over the past, was it 9-ish months now?
Nice.
So I've been working as, you know, a personal trainer and like as a, almost like a mini strength coach.
Yeah.
Because I've been working with like different types of athletes, whether it be at high schools that are nearby or like traveling baseball teams and whatnot. And so that's been like a real good time for me. You know, just being around like camaraderie of guys, mm-hmm, right? Because that's the one thing that I missed about playing football, is just always being around, know, guys that just enjoy being around each other and getting work done.
Yep. 100%. Just grinding.
Now, you said mini strength coach. I don't know how many. You're like still like one of the biggest dudes I've ever seen in my entire life, man.
Hey, I appreciate that, Kevin. Bro, you more shredded than me, though, low key.
Nah, man, you straight up lying about that, dude.
Have you seen Kluver lately? He's in the best shape of all three of us.
Yeah, yeah. Kluver's ripped, bro. He posted that pic. What was that? It was like a month ago or something off your like progress of you going from chunky boy to skinny.
Brother, I look a little different than the last time I saw you in person. let's see. You would have.
We missed Fat Kluver.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, Fat Kluver was cooler.
Yeah, it's good to hear you're doing well though, LaShawn. We got to get Faith on the podcast too, man. I follow him on Snapchat, and on the gram, and I see him training all the kids. Faith is just the Black Doyle now, you know.
Yeah, really. He's literally the superstar.
Yeah,
like everyone that comes in, they're always trying to train with Faith. Faith always has new people in training with them. Like it's crazy.
Yeah,
like
who doesn't
really want
to hang out with Faith though? You know what I'm saying?
True, funny dude. Soft dude.
Soft.
Funny and soft. but nah. He does a great job with all the kids he's training and, you know, doing his thing.
Thinks he can still hoop, but, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, he be trying to hoop. I mean, his shot's still kind of there, but not really.
Man, Faith always talked the biggest game when it came to basketball.
Yeah, dude.
Like there was some dudes that had like D1 offers, but Faith would be like, "Oh man, no, I got you."
Without a doubt.
Hilarious.
Without a doubt.
All right, so let's bring it back a little bit. Circa 2011, 2012, LaShawn Daniels, out of Ohio, a prospect. You know, Ohio, they grow them pretty strong there in the football community. Y'all are known for some football and LeBron. And your genetics and lineage, your dad, first of all, is a diesel. Okay.
Right.
I mean, he's
absolute monster.
He's a fucking 18 wheeler of a human, man. That dude is massive.
Your dad's a Mack truck and he played at Ohio State, right? The Ohio State.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to hear a little bit about you growing up. I got to imagine, I'm sure we've talked about this at some point, but I got to imagine that playing for the Buckeyes was the dream. Talk about when that became more of a reality and then, you know, where Iowa came into the picture and how you ended up in Iowa City.
Yeah, yeah. So growing up, it was all about the Buckeyes. Like, it was literally Saturdays. It was guaranteed we were going to be in front of the TV. We were going to be watching Ohio State. There was nothing else. It was all about the Buckeyes. Especially because both my parents went there. So my dad and my mom went there. And obviously growing up in Ohio, that's all people really care about. Like, I mean, you have the Browns, you have the Cavs, you have all these other teams, but no one really cares. They're all focused on Ohio State. That's all it was growing up.
No one's watching the Akron Zips?
No. No. No one.
What about the Dayton Flyers?
No, fuck Dayton, no one cares big about time. Dayton.
Fuck Dayton. Yeah. Extra fuck Dayton these days, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. They wilding on Twitter, bro.
Crazy.
Yeah, I see that going through my feed. I just be like, bro, let's keep scrolling because it's ridiculous. Anyways, so growing up, it's all about Ohio State. And that was really, honestly, like, really where I wanted to go, right? Like growing up, I was always, like, visioning myself, like, and Ohio State stuff. Like, I'd always found my dad's Ohio State helmet, right? Running around stuff. Like, we've been to hundreds of games, all this stuff, right? And then, you know, you get to high school and, like, you, like, not everyone, like, everyone thinks that they're going to be play college football, but then there's always those couple kids that, you know, like they are different, right? You always have those guys that are different, whether it be at your school or in your area where, like, okay, they kind of have a chance. And, like, I was one of those guys, like colleges would come in and, you know, talk to me a little bit. But I didn't get my first offer, Division I offer, until my junior year, and it was from Akron, which was
let's go, baby.
Cool. But, yeah, which was cool. You start somewhere, right? But I mean, they like they offered, but they was like, hey, like we're not really anticipating you coming here, but hey, offers on the table, right? Okay, and you know, I was really only getting interest from small schools like MAC schools. That was really like where all my recruiting focus was. When I was a junior, and the only Power Five school that offered me was Boston College. And I ended up committing there, I want to say June, going into my senior season. So I was like, I enjoyed their campus. Like, they got surprisingly a nice campus. There's a lot of hills, though. You got to walk a lot, kind of like Iowa City, unfortunately. But yeah, they had a nice facility, you know, cool coaches, you know. I enjoyed my time there. Obviously, Boston College is a really good academic school. You got to be a pretty smart guy to go into there, regardless if you're playing football or not. But yeah, I was with them, and they're not really that great of a football program, right? Like, to be honest, they're not that.
Anyone outside of Clemson in the ACC is quite honestly trash.
Right. Like you're not looking at Boston College like, oh yeah, like that's a school like I'm really like trying to go to, right? Right. So yeah, I was committed to them for a while, like summer of my senior season all the way through. Senior season ends, and like, because they were like really bad. I want to say they were probably worse than Iowa was that 2012 season, I think, or just as bad.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a rough season.
Right. 4-8, right? Yeah. So like, they had coaching changes, right? So like, opened up my recruitment just naturally, just because when you have coaches, you don't know if they're going to want you to bring your staff in or whatever. So like a few weeks after that, like, Coach Brian comes down to the school because he's doing his rounds. Because he used to recruit Ohio. So he's doing his rounds, and, you know, he's talking to me and my brother a little bit, and really ends up focusing on me. And he's like, hey, like, I don't know if we're going to offer you, like, yet. I mean, I've seen your film. I've watched your film, and I like it a lot. But, you know, I've got to get it to the head man, whatever, and, you know, we'll see what he says, right? So, and, like, a few days go by, and it's, like 11:30 at night, like, my time. Like, I get a call from, like a restricted number or something. I'm like, who's this? Like, I honestly wasn't even going to answer the phone. I was legitimately like, bro, it's probably somebody just, like, trying to prank call me or whatever.
Calling restricted numbers, by the way?
Yeah, it's crazy, right? So then I was like, all right, you know, I'm just pick it up. And he's like, hello, is this Deshaun? And I was like, you know, he does his little KF voice or whatever.
Oh, I'm
like,
shit,
I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, this is Coach Parent of University of Iowa. And then, you know, he's telling his talk. And then, long story short, he's just like, hey, we're going to offer you a scholarship, and we'd love to have you come out on the visit. And, like, at this time, like, I'm hyped. I'm like, oh, like let's fucking go. Like first Big Ten offer, like this is huge, right? Yeah. So now I'm like going around the house, like waking everybody up. Like Iowa just offered me, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Man, I still at this time, I really didn't even know much about Iowa.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I had no idea, like, really, like, what was in Iowa, like, who was, like, superstar players there. The only person that I knew of when, like, growing up from Iowa was Sean Green, which I was a beast, and DJK. And the only reason why I knew that is because he's from Youngstown. Yep. Is like 20 minutes from Warren, Ohio. So yeah, so going around, you know, waking her up, like, oh, like let's go, like, this is live, like, boom. So then, you know, I go take my trip, and like, it was like a big recruiting weekend, because they didn't go to a bowl game that year. Mm-hmm. So all the coaches were there, and all the players were there and whatnot, because they were like doing their workouts and stuff like that. And so it's just like a big group of guys that I think. I want to say, like, most of the guys, like, ended up coming, like, committing there through that visit. I wish I kind of have to find the picture, but it's, like, a whole bunch of us. I know for a fact it was Meerkat and DP were for sure on that visit. I remember.
DP.
DP, baby.
DP.
That's one of the truest legends,
dude,
man.
Yeah.
Dude, he was.
Love DP, bro.
bro, quick story about DP, man. Our freshman year, 2013, before we got, we had that weird, like, first couple days in camp where we got moved in with a freshman roommate, and then we got changed up like 2 or 3 days later with like a.
No, it was because like the freshman went to camp 2 days before everyone else, and then when everyone else came, you got paired with.
So guess who's DP's roommate night one? Your boy. And guess who talks on the phone till 1 a.m? DP!
Not your boy.
Dude! I'm trying to sleep, and DP's on the phone all night. We need to get him on the podcast somehow.
Got to, bro. I mean, bro, he's so funny, bro.
Hey, do you ever find his belt?
No.
Kinnick now.
Oh, man.
Kinnick now.
Anyway, so you commit.
Yeah. So I ended up committing. Had a great time on my official visit. Funny story on my official visit. Hitch was actually my host that night. And, you know, we're going around, you know, you go to the bars and whatnot. You take me around.
Absolutely.
Literally, like, halfway through the night, like, I couldn't even find him, bro. I literally couldn't find Hitch, bro. I'm, like, asking dudes around, like, hey, bro, like, Hitch go, like, bro, he's supposed to be my host, bro. He's supposed to be, like, bringing me back to, like, the hotel and whatnot. And I don't know where he went, bro. He left. I was like, bro, what? And then I think I was, like, with, like, Reese Fleming at the time, and DP, like, we like I found those two, bro, and Reese, like, I don't worry, bro, I'll take you back to the hotel or not, bro. But I had a great time on the visit. So, yeah, committed to Iowa. Yeah, and, you know, really.
So that would have been, like, the winter after your senior football season.
Yeah, so that was, like, I want to say this might have been early January, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
Might have been early January, late December-ish.
Okay.
Time around.
You're
I just think it's fucking funny that Hitch just
Hitch
left
was
you.
Gone.
Yeah, bro. It's
Yo,
crazy,
he took that
bro.
$40 per diem for the recruit and bounced.
Bro, bounced, bro. Bounced. Wild, bro.
Man.
Like, I'm getting me four burritos tonight, baby.
Hitch hit Poncheros and then went and took a nap for the night. Unreal. So this is funny. Dude,
go ahead.
Similar story, you know, further out east than Iowa, obviously. We just had Kanziri on a couple weeks ago. And Kanziri, have you heard his story when KF called him?
Yeah. Where he just like hung up on the phone,
he
right?
He said, thanks, but I'm committed to Villanova.
So yeah.
I'm good. Like,
I'm cool with Villanova.
Bro, like, bro, that's crazy.
That is wild. That's hilarious.
Anyway, man, that's crazy. So then we finished senior year, and it's time to go to work in the black and gold. And yep. Freshman year, guess who Kevin Ward's roommate is?
Wait, before that,
324, baby.
Yes, sir.
What?
Before that, even we LaShawn and I trained together all summer, and Kevin too. But I mean,
yeah,
I remember
Kluver
the first
there,
question
Kluver,
I ever. You said what, Kev?
Kluver wasn't there because he didn't want to get better.
Yeah. No. Kluver wasn't there because they didn't feel like having the white long snapper come in the summer was that important. No one said shit to me.
That's fair, too. But the very first question I think I ever asked LaShawn, I was like, how many times did you get tackled in high school? Because I did not believe what my eyes were telling me. This fucking guy that I'm looking at is the same age as me and plays running back. I was shook to my core.
Let's just say this, LaShawn, you would not have been tackled ever in Iowa.
No, for real, man. You looked like Leonard Fournette walking in the door. Like, literally, yeah, it's 18-year-old kid. And like, I'm just like, steroids? No. I mean, genetics, maybe. No, this dude's a fucking cyborg. There's no other explanation.
I'm still convinced you're half robot.
For reference, everybody that's listening, like, I came in 230 pounds.
Fuck.
Like,
solid,
you know, solid,
steel.
Right? Like, looking good. Like, you look good in the, like, in the uniform, walking off the bus, everything.
Bro, you look good now, like, in a sweatshirt.
Yeah, I think you were, like, the poster boy, like, the dude that they have do, like, those posters.
Yeah,
he was.
That was you, like, 4 years in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, I did do the posters, like a lot of those promo, those things with the schedules.
Damn.
Yep, that was me. That was your boy.
First team all body, first team all biceps. Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
Crazies. Anyway, so you get put in the dorm with this white kid from Illinois. What do you think?
I had no idea what to think, honestly. Like, I was like, okay, all right. You know, he seems cool. Like, didn't seem too weird or anything like that. And he brought all the stuff. So I was like, oh, this is great. Like,
hey,
my man K Warrior, like, looking out for the boys. Like, he got the food time, bro. He got the TV and everything.
You can guarantee that Kevin's gonna bring all the shit, man. Brian Ward was not gonna let that room be empty, and Kevin brought it all. He brought it all. Yeah. He didn't bring that mustache, but he brought it all.
I did not bring the mustache, man. I would have done a lot better for myself. Yeah, if I brought the
you would
mustache
have given out so day. Many free rides with that mustache.
Wow.
First team all body competition, Kevin. First team all abs with a mustache. Yo. Are you serious?
Would have been a wrap, man. No press would have stood a chance.
So anyway, this is good because we got the two roommates on the top, N320, and we got the two roommates on the bottom, N324, right?
Who was in between us?
Meerkat and Reggie.
Meerkat and Reggie, that's right.
Oh,
you
man.
You want to talk about a wild combination.
Bro.
Wild combination.
That is opposite ends of the spectrum
right there. Oh, man. That still cracks me up to this day whenever I think about those two being
right. Unreal, dude.
Oh, yeah.
How many times did Reggie get locked out of his room?
All the time.
It was damn near every night, bro. I used to swear, like, every night, like, you'd be banging on Meerkat's door, like, boom, boom,
dude.
Boom, boom, like, hey, I forgot my key.
Sean, did you hear the story about when I took Reggie's shoes?
Oh, and he was, like, flipping out, right? Like, going to, like...
Because he did something to me. I don't remember what the prank was that he pulled on me, but I'm like, oh, yeah, Reggie, you think you're fucking slick? Watch this. And he was a sneakerhead. I snagged them all, and I hid them in our closet. Bro, they were gone for a second. Like,
yeah.
Ripping. He had dudes. He was interrogating random college kids in his dorm room trying to figure out where his sneakers went from.
Which is – that's so funny because, like, I think about I'm being on the third floor, and, like, it was, like, literally just, like, that corner of us, like, football players, and, like, everyone else is just, like, regular just students, bro. So that cracks me up just thinking about him just going door to door, like, hey. And, like, these kids are probably just, like, dude, like, what the fuck, like. I didn't do anything.
It's good.
Yeah, there was like, dude, that's insane. And of course, Reggie wasn't no little guy either freshman year. Like,
no,
he was
no,
he was college ready body wise. There was only 12 guys up on the third floor. It went you two, Reggie and Meerkat, me and Drake, Boone and Boz,
yep.
Bo and Corbin. And then across the hall was Gaffey and what was his name?
Who was Gaffey's roommate?
Lineman. Odell? Tanner Odell?
Odell. Well, you're forgetting about
can't forget about Andrew.
Okay. We had Andrew Wellick, Justin Joyce, Steve Manders, and Dick Pryor. Yes! But that was third floor. Dude, everybody else was on second floor, man.
Yeah. Did you love your time in the dorms, LaShawn? Because we talked about it. We loved ours.
Bro, great time, bro. Great time in the dorms.
Always.
Man. Like,
dorms are fun, man.
Like, if anyone think like listening and you guys are like considering like commuting from home or anything, don't do it. Go stay in the dorms.
Absolutely.
It's a great experience. You meet a lot of people, have a lot of great times.
You have a lot of interesting
you meet a lot of weird
times.
People. Yeah, a lot of interesting times, man. You have stories to tell, like, forever.
Forever.
You got it.
Man, like, we used to just sit in the hallways, like, because we wouldn't travel on Friday nights because us three were walk-ons and we sucked. So Friday nights before, like, away games, like, you were gone.
Whoa,
so,
like, we would whoa, whoa, just, like, whoa, whoa. I was on the trip with LaShawn.
Did travel,
which is bullshit, by the way. We need to absolutely act as if he didn't travel.
But on the home games, my place was known. I was going to be at the stadium regardless, so no need for me at the hotel in the home games that year. So,
regardless, like we would just chill in the hallways and like just kind of people watching people that would just walk.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
How badass did it feel to be one of the freshmen who was actually going to play? Like, you came from playing high school ball, boom, to immediately you're going to carry the ball sometimes in, like, Kinnick.
Oh, I mean, it was pretty sick. Like, you know, you coming in, like, fall camp is, like, a grind, right? Like, you come in, like, you have no idea what to expect.
Kevin's face.
Like, you think you going through, like, your 2-a-days in high school, like it's tough. Like, you're like, oh man, we used to 2-a-days, we get hitting every single time of practice, this and that. Like, right, call's gonna be easy, right? Like, it's gonna be smooth sailing. Okay, you go through camp, totally different type of grind.
Psych.
Right? Like, and that adjustment period to like dealing with that speed of like like guys that are going to be like that were probably some of the fastest guys in their high school team, and now you're coming to college. Like it's different, right? And really, like the first time, like I felt like I had a chance that I was like, okay, I'm going to be able to play. It's like we were doing like a temple period in the indoor, and like
threw me with the
twos, right? And like it's like an inside zone play or whatever. We run it, like Nico Law like comes down like try to hit me, right? Really just like run right through him,
okay.
And, get up hype, bro. Call the whole disturbance in practice. Like, because we were doing the temple period.
Dude, the entire offense was out on the field.
Yeah, whole offense honestly, out on the field. Like,
half the defense fucking loved it, too.
Like, we going crazy, man. Like, KF and Coach Davis just start going off, like, about how, like we're doing the temple period. We got guys running off and on the field, this and that, blah, 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 blah. And, like, in my head, I'm just like, dude, I just ran over, the junior safety, like one of the junior safeties.
Nico Law, son.
I'm feeling good. Like, literally didn't even think about that. And, you know, and then really just like, you know, just try to stay consistent throughout the rest of fall camp. And then, like, it gets to like a week and a half before the NIU game. And Coach White's like, yeah, so you know, we're not redshirting you. So you got to quit bullshitting and practice this and that. I'm like, damn, like I'm doing like a pretty good job.
I didn't know I was bullshitting. I'm sorry.
Hey,
right.
Coach White has made us all feel a little smaller at one point.
We don't say that many kind words about that podcast, to be honest.
I'll say this. I think Coach White is a good coach for the NFL. For the NFL, I think he could be, he's a good coach.
Oh, for sure.
College, I think he and some guy, it's all right. It's all right, Chris. It just didn't connect to players like somebody like I don't know, like Brian does or something.
Brian.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean he knew his shit. It just
Definitely knew stuff.
But so he tells you that and in your head you're like, okay, all right.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, all right. Like I felt bad, but like felt good. I'm like, bro, he basically said I'm playing, like I'm good now. I'm playing. Like we out here. Like I'm not getting the red shirt or nothing. Like we good. like it's time to become a superstar. Like.
So I will share a story about our freshman year. So freshman year during the season, all the freshmen lifted three times a week.
Yep.
It was like Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, or something like that. And regardless if you were playing, regardless if you were redshirted or not, like all the freshmen lifted 3 days a week, except for that motherfucker.
On a 2 day lift card. So
him and all the other veterans lifted like Tuesday, Wednesday, or I don't know. I forget what the days were. So like first game week comes around Monday morning, 5 o'clock, our alarm goes off. I'm like, LaShawn's still asleep. So I'll snooze it. Hits it again. LaShawn still sleeps. So I'll snooze. Hits it again. LaShawn still sleeps. So I'll snooze. He's like, hits it again. He's like, yeah, you know, LaShawn, you think we should go? Yeah. He's like, nah, man, I'm not listening. So I'm like, I have to sprint. I literally sprint from Hillcrest to the complex, and I'm literally like putting my shirt on as I'm walking into the indoor and make it like just in time for roll.
Wow. That's incredible.
That is hilarious.
That is funny.
That is so funny because I do remember that because that is hilarious, man.
They straight up Doyle looked at LaShawn and he said,
"You're good.
We're good.
Yeah, we good."
What do you want me to do with this? He's already the finished statue of Michelangelo. I can't do anything with this,
man. Fuck. Where was I gonna go with that?
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline, wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app Search for Wash Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons.
I don't know. You ever sit your dad down and say, hey, thanks for the genetics?
And mom.
Mom. I mean, yes and no, because like in my head, I'd be like, I mean, like I'm only 5'11". Like,
true.
I
feel
like
I should be like, true.
Like 6'2" at least. 6'2" at least.
James got a little bit of the height, a little bit.
Is it true that Ellis is still gonna be the beast? Is he still on track?
He's huge, bro. If he was here right now, I would show you guys him. Like, he's absolutely massive.
Your youngest brother, right?
Yeah,
bro. My family, my mom, when she used to come. She used to come to the dorm at some point, and I think your family was there at some point too. And like your brother was playing like on his DS,
Or
something like that. And my mom for a fucking week would not stop talking about how cute she thought your brother was at the time, your youngest brother. And I was like, yeah, I mean, he's fucking, I get it. Like, and he was already big at the time. Like, he's the biggest of you three, right?
Yeah. Like, he's way bigger than we were at his age. Like, and it's not even close.
Unreal.
That's not
fair. Didn't your mom think he was like 5 years younger than he actually was, or older than he actually was, or something like that?
My mom asked what grade he was in, like in high school or middle school or whatever. And I was like, I don't think he's that old, mom. I think he's just like, I think the genetics run strong in that family, and they sure do. Talk about your first year, 2013, kind of how it went, how you felt about it at the end. You know, like it was a good year, man. It was. We had a lot of great leadership on that team.
Right.
Go after.
So first week, Coach White tells me I'm not redshirted and whatever, and NIU game comes up. So I'm like, okay. So I'm thinking I'm going to get like a few snaps in, whatever. Like, the game goes through and like, obviously like the game's close, like a lot closer than like what the staff expected, what the players expected. Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, that was a good team. That was a good football team. And I used real good. So that, like, I didn't even get a snap in that game. So like after that game, I'm kind of upset. Like, obviously I'm definitely pissed. Like, we lost. I'm extra pissed. Like, I didn't even get a play. Like, I didn't even get a chance to even like help us out at all or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then, so I was hella upset about that. But then, like, the next game week comes up, and who were we playing? I want to say, was it Missouri State?
I think we played
Missouri State.
Yeah.
Like, Northwest Missouri State.
Something like that, right? And so then, like, game's going through. I think it might have been, like, the second quarter. I'm like, oh, sorry, not looking good again already. So then, like, when the drive comes up, Coach White's like, hey, you're going in next drive. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, all right, okay, all right, cool. Cool. So first play, we go and we run like play action or something. Something where I didn't have to do it, like really do anything but run a fake. Okay. And then the next play they call run play. I'm like, oh shit. Okay. All right. Boom. Don't false start. Just look at the ball, right? Just don't move till everybody else moves. Boom. Get it, do my thing. And then like it was really kind of just like that for like really the rest of the season. Like, played here and there. Might have been like, I think most I played in the game might have been like 20, like, three snaps or something.
Not
like
enough
that.
To get off those 55s.
Yeah, not enough, man. I was running every Sunday. I was running them 60s, running them 60 shuttles, man.
That's right. It was 60s
oh,
back
shit,
then.
You're so, right.
These boys got it so easy these days, man.
Yeah, they don't even know. Chilling,
dude.
Chilling nowadays.
You don't even like. I asked Zach the other day if they still do Fantastic Four, and he's like, no.
What?
That's the worst stress thing of all time. The
stretch
they don't do
is honestly, it is worse than the condition.
He said a few other things that blew my mind too. And it's just like, now I guess, Kev, you'll get a kick out of this. Drake too, kind of. Oh, fuck. LaShawn, you're a health and human phys major. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
me and LaShawn took a bunch of classes together.
I guess like one of their cues now, this is totally off topic, but one of their cues now, because I've been working out with my brother, for them to like, instead of set your core, I don't know if set your core.
It's floor core.
Yeah, or like, and they teach audible exhale.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah, so they started doing that when I entered.
So every time they do a rep, they go, huh! And it's like.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck. So now there's just 48 Bo Bowers in the weight room. That's all there is. I've never, so for those listening, I'm sorry about this, but when Bo Bauer would hang clean, it sounded just like this. And I guess that's the cue now. So anyway, that whole first year is just like, I feel you on that. Just trying to make sure you didn't mess up. Just make sure you got the play right. Don't fall.
So I got a question. So you didn't, like, you weren't obviously the lead back that year. We had Mark, we had Jordan, we had Thibault. And you got, like, what, dozen to 20 snaps a game. You ever wish that you did actually redshirt that year and got a full year to contribute as a redshirt senior?
So funny thing about that. So we go to that next year, right? And so we go through spring ball and we go through fall camp, like kind of through like a little bit, like it might've been like a week in the fall camp. And like Coach White talked to me, he's like, yeah, so we actually like been thinking about like redshirting you this year. Like going like, cause like, that's not something that always happens, but like we were so deep in the backfield. Mm-hmm. Right. So like, obviously we had Mark, we had Deebo, we had Jordan. Right. And those guys were going to be the three. Like there's no getting around that. Like those guys are going to be the three. And like, it was like, yeah. So like thinking about redshirting you this year, this and that. So I'm like, oh shit. Like, well, that's not, you know, like, that's not cool. I want to play. Then fall camp goes through, and like really after that, like I did performed a lot better, like through fall camp, like just that little like extra bit, I guess, of you know motivation, you know, helped me a lot. And then so first game comes by 2014. Literally my first carry goes for a touchdown, and I'm like, okay, all right, we're back, we're in business, boys. Like okay, we about to be good, we're gonna be good. And then like that, like in that game, like I kind of like messed up my ankle like a little bit, but it was nothing like crazy. And then like for like literally like the next like 5-ish weeks, like I kind of played like very little, like less, honestly less than I thought, like I played my freshman year. And like then it gets to a bye week and like I broke my ankle, which I'm sure Kuba, you're probably gonna end up touching on this, but so I break my ankle, and like now I'm like, wow, like this is almost like a wasted year. Yeah. Like it's basically a wasted year. Like they're talking about like they're gonna redshirt me, and now like I break my ankle halfway through the season, and now I can't even like get that redshirt, right? Because mm-hmm. like now like cause the medical redshirt rules were like scuffed and whatnot. Like there was no like it was a lot harder to get it, just like medical redshirt total, back then.
Right. It's like three or four games. Anything beyond that, like there's almost no.
Yeah, it was like 30% or something, and they were just such bullshit rules.
Yeah. Yeah. So then that happens, and then I'm like man, like this is tough now. Like now, like I'm like at a point where like now a lot of people have known it. Like cause like I still like showed up like every day, like with a smile on my face, this and that, but like, and it's not like I was hurting. Like I was like legit like struggling.
Would you say that at this point, you know, even considering the rest of your career, this was probably the hardest time for you personally at
this was hands down the hardest time. Because like, so this point, so that happens like that bye week before the Northwestern game, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, because, like, going into that, like, because we were having, like, run game struggles and whatnot. And, like that week before that, like, Coach White's like, hey, we're going to make a lot of changes, like, running back-wise. Like we're thinking about giving you, like a lot, like, much bigger shot, like, opportunity on this team, like, to provide and whatnot. And so, like, that comes. And then when I break my ankle, like I swear, like, that sent me just, like, into, like, almost like a depression, like, legit depression. Like, sure. So I was just down on myself. And everything, like, but like, it's obviously tough to like, hard not to feel sorry for yourself, but like, I mean, like, this is like your life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you play football, like, you want to be a star, like, it's like, it's what you love, right? And so, like, that week, like, Mark plays really well, and then Akram gets his like first big shot, right? And like, we're like really the same class, and he goes and rushes for like 110 yards, something like that, and my touchdown, and I'm like, obviously, like, I'm happy for Ak, and I'm like, because like, that's my boy, and but I'm like, damn, like, like that could have been me, right? Mm-hmm. Like that could have been me. And like at this time, like I'm struggling, and like the classes I was taking were hard. Like, you know, they said like halfway through the semester, like they sent out a little note, like if you're struggling, like if you have like a D or F in the class, like I get that. I'm like, bro, like like, I don't know if this, I don't know if this legit can get like any worse for me right now.
Damn.
And so like this is probably like hands down probably like the hardest point in my career. Like this is like tough, and it was a good thing. Like I had a good support system, you know, good group of friends. Like the running back room was great. You know, guys to help kind of like pick you up like throughout the day and throughout the rest of the season.
You, what did you think about when this fucking ugly guy up in the corner walked his way into the running back room?
Couldn't have been good, dude. I was
honestly, I had no idea. Like, I didn't know what to expect. Like, I mean, obviously, like we talked like a decent amount. I mean,
we were right down the hall from each other.
Yeah, he talked a decent amount, but I was like, I don't know how he's going to do that fullback. But I was like, so he's probably better than he was that linebacker. linebacker.
I mean, it got much worse. It has to be better than that.
Yeah. but I was like, okay, like, I was like, he definitely hits hard. Like, but I'm like, dude, if he isn't like, get his head up or like get his pads lower, he's gonna like fucking kill himself out there playing fullback. Like if I see him run the B play one more time and run with his crown into his head, we might have to be carrying him off on a stretcher or some shit.
Dude, we're still worried about carrying him out of his house in a stretcher. So that's nothing's changed there. Damn, that's funny. As you guys progress, what'd you feel? I guess did Drake block for you much? Because Make and Adam were in there.
My senior year, it was him and Brady.
How'd you feel about Drake in front of you?
Good.
At that
man,
point,
I felt good. I felt protected, okay, man. Okay. Like Drake, Drake was my boy, right? Yeah.
Question: were you the one that fell on his ankle and broke it in the Nebraska game?
No.
I remember. He was too strong for the guy.
So basically, I get a carry, right, and like. Like I literally just like run through this guy and like he just goes like flying. This goes flying into Drake's leg. Bro,
his
and
buddy
then, like,
from Nebraska would have hit the weight room at all if he would have found a squat rack in his four fucking years. I wouldn't walk like Barney Rubble. But as it is, the kid met LaShawn in the hole and had no prayer. And now I walk with
LaShawn straight. LaShawn straight.
That ass, like, look back, bro, and I see like his ankle. I was like, oh, Drake, get up, bro. And I'll see his ankle. I was like, oh, shit.
Dude, I remember the film. LaShawn, you backed away so fast. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, come here. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, bro. I was like, oh, hell no. Nah. Yo, like this man's ankle, it was literally dangling off. I was like, this is wild. Like, you like, yeah. Like, that's some shit. Like, you see him, like Grey's Anatomy or something. That's how his ankle was, yo. It was crazy.
I'm weak.
Yeah, LaShawn had a first. So, like, there was a couple people who had a real first-hand glimpse of it. It was LaShawn, Ike, and Boone. And both LaShawn and Ike, they didn't take to it too well. And Boone's sick ass. Boone Myers, the sick bastard. You can go back to the film. Boone just stands there over me, just like just staring at it. Doesn't say anything. No reaction at all. Serial killer style.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. So
yeah, that's fucking common.
I wanna move towards the end of our career.
So, yeah. Good part. Move towards the good part where you score all the touchdowns and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. About that. So you end up playing, your senior year was 2016.
Yeah.
Right?
Are we just going to skip the happiest year of our lives or what?
Well, and 2015. I was just putting it in perspective. Talk about being a key part of that 2015 team. And then.
Because that's when. That's when you kind of got the reins. It was you and you and Jordan that year.
Yeah. So y'all heard my story, my background story in 2014. That was a tough time. Then so going into 2015, like I had honestly no expectations at this point. Like it's 2 years in the career, like in my career, I haven't made like really any progress, really, like as far as being, you know, the lead back. So we go in the spring. And like you think of all the backs that we had on that team, that 2015 team. So there was me, there was Jordan, there's Akram, there's D Mitch, like all of us, like were backs on that contributed significantly. And then that spring, like I actually like went out and won the RB job like outright, right? So like going into the year, like So I'm like, okay. So like now I'm like starting to feel like everything kind of changed a little bit. Like for, especially in myself, especially confidence in myself. I'm like, okay, now like I feel like I can actually play. Like the coaches actually believe in me at this point. Like they seen that, you know, that I can actually, you know, help contribute to the team and help carry us to get us a lot of victories. And so we go through that. I have a little rough patch in the middle of the year there with the high ankle sprain, but then we get to the point where we get to the Minnesota game, right? And we all know the story. We all know how that went down, right? I had my career high in yards with 195. You know, we go score 3 touchdowns and we go 10-0 for LeSean, the first time.
LeSean, I would have loved if he had 194 and one less touchdown. He would
have bro, Kevin, to this,
Kevin was so mad about that touchdown.
No one wanted you to score less than Kevin Ward on that fucking play.
But like it was literally something like we honestly never talked about that.
It was after that time that we put in 3 new tempos,
mm-hmm,
so that we would never make that mistake again.
Yep. Like literally,
because,
like,
yeah, defense was having a rough night. Phil Parker was not happy after the
game. Oh man.
The defense was not happy. We did not go out that night because, you know. And what does Minnesota do? We kick the ball off to them. They score right away, and they have to get the onside kick. I guarantee you, they get that onside kick, we would have been in fucking trouble.
Yeah, bro, I was like, oh,
we were in
shit.
Trouble.
like I had tweeted because that clip I posted on Twitter, was on Twitter one day, and I was like, yeah, fun fact. Literally the next day in film, like Coach Parker just let me know like how pissed he was in the defense, how pissed they were. Like I went and scored that touchdown. Like honestly, like in my mind, I didn't even think about it. I'm like, boy, I made this guy. I killed this dude in the hole.
Oh.
Like, I'm taking this kid down. There was nothing. There's nothing stopping me. I was like, I'm going to the end zone. Like, there's nothing stopping me. Like, I'm scoring regardless.
Bro, and that video just got reposted because of all this Corona shit. They're reposting highlights and stuff.
Yeah.
That the cut you made on the safety was so pretty, dude. It was so pretty, and you just bounced, and it was gone. And I was like, every time a touchdown happens, I get to admire it, and then as right as about you score, I'm like, oh, fuck, I have to go do something.
yeah.
And I wasn't even thinking about you going down. I was like, hell yeah, we're going to win this game. And then after I snapped the ball, I got off the field, and I was like, our defense hasn't been great today. But,
literally all offensive coaches, like, dude, Brian is like, I mean, we didn't expect you to, you know, break a run for 50 yards and a touchdown. Like, if you would have known you were going to do that, like, we would have just told you to go down once you got the first.
Phil Parker legitimately wanted nothing to do with a touchdown on the offense. He probably still thinks about it to this day.
Without a doubt.
That motherfucker don't forget.
Without a doubt. Next time I see him, you'll probably bring that up.
I bet, dude. It was all right, man. Kinnick was rocking for another 2 minutes, so he gave him that until they started.
Yeah, they legitimately did the IOWA and think until Minnesota scored again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Man, that was that's one of the better games we played, man. It really is.
What's your favorite? What are some of your most memorable ones?
Obviously, that one's up there. That's without a doubt. Michigan, obviously. Nebraska 2012, even though I didn't play that, I mean 2015, even though I didn't play that much, like, still just the fact, like, us going 12-0, like, that was how you
see. Yeah, but also, how fucking cold was that game?
Freezing.
Dude.
Yo, it was unreasonably cold. Like, literally, when I went out to go out, like, warm, like, before the game, I'm like, bro, we got to plan.
It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah,
dude, I would cancel that game for weather purposes faster than I would not play in a coronavirus pandemic. 100%.
Dude, if they told me that I could either play another football game in Yankee Stadium on that turf in the cold or get coronavirus, I'm taking coronavirus.
If they told me that every single person in Nebraska Stadium had coronavirus, or that it was 75 degrees, or it was as cold as it was during that game and everybody was healthy, I'm taking the coronavirus.
It was so cold that game. It didn't make no sense. No sense.
That's fun to hear about some of your favorite memories. I want to know your thoughts a little bit. So you graduate and your guys who all got the red shirt get to play one more year and get to stomp out the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Dude, I was honestly so pissed. Like I was happy, but I was pissed at the same time. I was like, dude, I only got to play Ohio State one time, and I didn't really play. I played like eight snaps. That was like my freshman year. Like eight snaps. Mm-hmm. And right, so like I didn't really like get the full experience of it to actually, you know, play the whole game and like actually go head to head. And so like 2015, like I was hoping, like when Michigan State beat Ohio State that year, I was so pissed because I was like, dude, I was like, that's my chance. That was my chance right there. Like, and it just went poof. But yeah, so I see everyone get, and I went to that game because like this, at this point in time, like I think I was in between rosters. I think I was in between the Chargers and the Redskins. And so like I had a free weekend. And so like my family and everyone was coming up, obviously. And so I was like, dude, I'm going, that's all I doubt I'm going to this game.
Duh, without a doubt.
First play, Monty get that pick six, and I'm like, oh, we gone. Like, like it's gonna be a slaughter.
We out.
Like they battled a little bit, but I'm like, nah, bro. We not losing. The way the stadium was rocking that night, I was like, without a doubt, this is gonna be a great time. And I was so jealous of y'all that y'all got to play in that.
You go out afterwards. You had to.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Bro, it was one of the wildest nights. Wild. We just beat the Ohio State. It was.
Have
wild.
You?
I still think the Michigan night we went a little harder.
I don't know. Okay, so
honestly, we might have. That Michigan night was really like a movie.
So the Michigan night, man. Michigan night, KS sent out the text saying curfew's extended at 2 a.m.
He did say that.
Which night was the daylight savings? Because one of those crazy night outs. Or
I don't know. They're both in November, so they were around the same
time.
I gotta say this. Both of those games, me and LaShawn, we talked about it. We're married. Your wedding day's a good day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But brother, when you rush the field and you beat a top five team in Kinnick.
Oh my goodness.
Don't say it, Kluber.
It's on a different level. It's you can't really compare it, but it's the happiest you could ever be, ever.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
So here's a funny story, LaShawn. You'll appreciate this because you saw my ankle up close and personal. After we beat Ohio State, I went into the stands and just stood there. I just like, because I almost made it back to the tunnel. I'm like, wait, I don't really want to go back to the locker room yet. So I just went and stood out there or on the stand. As I'm leaving the field afterwards, I jump over the thing. I see a person on a stretcher with their leg looking identical to mine. Dude, somebody tried to jump the fence.
Oh, my God.
The start of the field, and they raked their shit completely, dude. And on the way by, dude, cross my heart, no cap. I looked at him, and I just laughed. I'm like, been there, and I just
oh, my God.
Oh, man, that is fucking
wow. Wow.
Unbelievable. A lot of good times in Kinnick, a lot of good times in Iowa City. Any others that come to your mind, not necessarily on the field, but just being in Iowa City during those 4 years? And
I don't know, just being around the guys, man. I mean, that's one of the things that I miss the most. And I guarantee you, like, mostly everyone that's played at a high level like that, even guys that have played in high school, like, they miss, like, being around the guys like that, like, being able to clown around all the time and, you know, just
that's
joke.
That's why we have this podcast, dude.
Literally just joke around, you know, mess around. Like, those are the times that you miss. And, like, obviously those good moments on the field are great. Like, obviously in 2016, we didn't have as good a year as we would have liked. But, I mean, as far as in the running back room, like, for the most part, like, we were doing a damn good job, right? Like, we had me and Ack rush for over 1,000 yards each. And, you know, like, fullbacks blocking their asses off, like, we were having a pretty good time solidly in the RB room. And, you know, there's times like that where you're making big plays and, you know, you're enjoying it with the guys. Like, there's not much things that truly get better.
Exactly.
Coming from my perspective, too, like, having 2,000-yard running backs was insane.
That was
– It felt so cool because there was so much to celebrate.
For real.
Yeah.
So you graduate and you do the whole pro day thing. Which unfortunately the guys are getting screwed out of this year. Just insanity. you train with Doyle, or you trained with Doyle, right?
Yeah.
Pro Day comes around. Talk a little bit about your post career. You know, you've mentioned a couple of the teams that you were with, but talk about your NFL career and your opportunities there. To kind of bring you up to that point that we mentioned earlier, where you've got the, you know, you got the baby and the family now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, Pro Day went well. You know, I ran fast, 40, did well on the jumps and, you know, my agility testing. And then draft day comes. I felt like I was going to get drafted. I was in contact with like a pretty decent amount of teams, but then, you know, the draft goes by and I don't get drafted. A couple of teams end up calling, you know, me and my agent about, you know, signing me as a draft free agent, and end up ultimately choosing New England, which was a great time, by the way. Which, I mean, people are probably shocked to hear that, but like, obviously, like coming from Iowa, like the programs are very similar, where they're very strict and they kind of have like an expectation of whoever, whether you are the, you know, at the time, like you're Tom Brady on the roster, right, or you're the 90th guy on the roster, right? Like everyone has an expectation, like, of, you know, getting better each day and performing on their role. And so like that was a great time, just being around that type of environment, right? That was a championship environment. You know, those guys have built an organization where they've won, was that six?
Yeah.
Over the past, what was that?
Six.
Yeah.
20 years.
20 years, yeah. Over 20 years, which is, I was just insane. Like, and you see why. Like, you see how their programs run, and you see, like, people that are there, like, they buy into the program. Literally everyone does it, regardless of their background, whether they were a first round pick or they were undrafted or they're even a trial guy. Like everyone buys into that program, and you kind of understand, like, okay, so this is what it takes to be great. And so I learned a lot from them and kind of just, you know, continue to carry that, from those teachings that I learned from Iowa and New England, and kind of carried it through. So my NFL career has been short, a lot shorter than I would have liked it to be, but I mean, I've learned a lot of things, learned a lot of football, you know, bounced around. I've been on that grind of being in practice squads and going to active rosters, or, you know, going to workouts and whatnot. And it's a different type of grind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fact of all the adversity that I went through at Iowa definitely helped me, like, through that time period and, you know, being able to, you know, push through and not give up. Right.
Yep.
So like, it, like, because if I give up, like, how can I tell someone else, like, you know, you got to push through and something, like, when you know, I didn't even pull through on myself.
Yeah,
so
that's a good point. That's you said it well right there. Before we get to any last words, I want to know quick what it's like to walk around a complex with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. What's that like?
Yeah, I was gonna say, what was it like to be in the midst of greatness?
It's intimidating at first, like. I mean, like, he, like, because you obviously, you know who these guys are. Like, there's no getting around it. Like, these guys are, they're the guys. Everyone wants to be them. Like, you, like, all the program, like, all organizations in the NFL, like, if they could trade their last 20 years and take the Patriots last 20 years, every single one of them would do it in a heartbeat, right? And so, like, literally, like, the first day, like, you get there, like, and you're with the vets. Tom Brady's actually, like, not as, like, an asshole as, like, you know, people would think he would be. Like, he, like, first day, literally walks up. He's like, "Hey, hello, my name's Tom." And I'm like,
"No shit!"
Like, no shit. Like, obviously, I know that, and, like, you know, introduce yourself and whatnot. But, like, these guys, they expect the best. Like, you know, like Tom Brady, like, he did, like, at the time, like, that year I was there, like, he did all the workouts, like, he did all the conditionings and all this stuff. Like, didn't do no special treatment. Damn. Or anything like that. Like, just treated him just like everybody else. And it's just crazy to think about, because, like, a lot of people probably just think, like, oh, he probably does his own thing, like, and he, like, probably just has, like, free reign. But, like even he's, like he was part of the Patriot Way. That's what they call it, right? The Patriot Way, where, you know, everyone just buys into the program. And Coach Belichick just commands so much respect from, like, everyone on the staff and, you know, around the league and even other professions, like, because they know – how he goes about his business and how he does things and how he gets, you know, everyone to kind of follow his lead. And so it was great to actually, you know, learn under that and see, like, what it takes to be great, whether you're doing football or whether you're running any other type of business or anything like that. So
Damn.
Do you notice that the Patriots rosters were a lot like Iowa rosters? Just like the Patriots team is put together a whole lot the same.
Yeah. So I think
they're doing.
Yeah. Like you have like your top, like you have your talented guys, right? But then you got guys on there like who you may have never even heard of. Like you might like they were like at some small school, right? And they're at some like undrafted guy that, you know, making plays in the AFC Championship or Super Bowl,
the
right?
Kevin
like,
Wards like, of the NFL.
You take Julian Edelman and make him a Super Bowl MVP, like, since when?
Yeah, I mean, he was seventh-round drafted. He played quarterback at Kent State. And, you know, next thing you know, he's becomes a receiver who becomes a Super Bowl MVP. And then you got guys like Malcolm Butler, who went to a small school in Alabama, was like a tryout guy for the Pats. And the next thing you know, he makes one of the biggest plays in the Super Bowl to ever happen, right? That goal line interception. Like it's just
Seahawks very similar.
True.
They should have ran.
Marshawn's still salty.
Without a doubt. And it's like I was just very similar to that. Like you got guys who might have been, you know, two-star recruits or just no-star recruits, right? That come in and you know I respect it. Yeah. like they work hard, you know, and then they when their time comes, you know, they go and make the most out of it. So.
Heart don't have stars, LaShawn. We're making merch.
Facts. I love that.
I didn't know how this was going to go. We bring our former teammates on here. LaShawn, you were always kind of a quiet guy. Didn't say a whole lot. I didn't know how this interview was going to turn out. You were fucking fantastic, man.
Yeah, you appreciate that.
We love having you on. You're welcome anytime.
And we got to get the LaShawn and JD combo, dude. I've been with you two together too many times to not have to do it on the podcast.
We'll get it. I got some great stories we can tell.
Yeah, absolutely. So. All right. Mm-hmm. Drake, Kevin, any other questions before we let LaShawn go?
Nah, man, we'll get him back again and cover up anything that we didn't get to.
All right.
So.
LaShawn, it's fun having you on, man. N324 for life, baby.
Facts. Yes, sir.
There you go. For N324 and N320 and Kevin's chicken lips that are in the fridge.
Just to put it out there, you know, I like to talk about fighting a lot. N324 would have won the fight.
Oh, yeah. Wow. For sure.
Drake
admitting. Drake admitting
he'd lose a fight.
It's hard.
We would have got throttled.
It's tough. It's tough when at that point it was 2-on-1. right now, I think it'd be interesting. I think we have a slightly better chance, but I think we still might get fucked up because I.
Dude, like we're like in different weight classes now. I know.
Well,
like Drake's skinny as fuck now, too.
LaShawn, what do you weigh before we go? What do you weigh right now?
220 right now.
Okay.
220 right now. So I can still play.
Me and LaShawn are in the exact same weight class. So he would embarrass me and I wouldn't have anything that I would like, you know, I wouldn't have anything to fall back.
Bro, I'm 186.
And you like meerkat.
Oh, you on the shake list.
I'm double shake list. 4 a.m. Doyle and me are eating breakfast together.
Yep.
Man, it was so fun to have you on. Again, you can come on anytime. And when we get your brother and you,
they play. Well, if the 2020 season happens, they're supposed to play Ohio State. So if that game happens, we gotta get like a pre-Ohio State pod with you and
absolutely.
JD.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt,
absolutely. That was episode 105. We're on our way to 200 now. Fuck 100. Chad was great. We'll bring him back for episode 200, but we're on our way to 200 now. As long as Corona doesn't turn this entire place into Badlands. And that's it. Corona Chronicles, LaShawn Daniels.
Yep.
One of the better friends that we had during our time and one of the better running backs in Iowa history.
Great human being.
Good luck with everything you're doing, LaShawn. Good luck with the with the fam. Tell them hi. And and have a good one, man.
Yeah, y'all too. Thank
Heart you. Don't have stars. Walk-ons out.
everyone. I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.